Brought your Bible with you. All right, let's open up to 1 Corinthians 6. You're going to read a lot of scripture today. So 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20. And it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Verse 20, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." What's that mean to you? Give a big old thank you, Jesus, that we know that we want our body to be a temple of the Holy Spirit and that we're supposed to take care of that temple, correct? We're walking through Kineo year 2. We're leading up to Tabernacle, which I'm getting super excited. I'm going to learn a lot that I probably don't know. And today is a little bit about that. So I'm going to preach from the book of Exodus today. But as you read through scripture, this is something you've heard, but you didn't like let it sink into you. All scripture is breathed, right? It's the breath of God written on paper. Do you know every little dot and tittle has meaning? So you start diving into that every dot and tittle, and then you start getting revelation. And Lance has had revelation, Sonny's had revelation, other people have had revelations. But I feel today, God gave me a revelation of this scripture. So I'm going to build it up, and then at the end I'm going to get to it, okay? All right. Open up to Hebrews 4:12. This is almost becoming a life verse to me. I keep coming back to it and back to it and back to it. So Hebrews 4:12. "The word is living and powerful." Say that with me. "The word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divisions of the soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So the word is powerful, right? It's alive and active. And as we dive through, the past couple weeks in Kineo 2, it's type and shadow. She's pointing out all the types and shadows, how much we see Christ in the Old Testament. And when you open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart, you can see it, right? Month of November, how many of my youth are here? Looking around. What do we talk about most of November and into December? Not Proverbs. On Wednesdays, we walk through the book of Exodus, right? As we was walking through the books of Exodus, I just kept going on and on and on. And every little dot, every little tittle was like just coming to life and making sense. But before we get started today, so let me pray. Let me get out of the way. So, Father God, I just approach your throne. I just surrender myself. I surrender my mind, my heart, and my words to you, Father God. I just want to walk in obedience to you today. Whatever you want me to say, just let it come out. I just ask for your sheep here, Father, that their eyes be open and their ears be open as well, so that they can just hear your word as we go forth today. We just thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right. I haven't told you the title of this yet. When you guys are out anywhere, maybe out mowing your grass or outside or something in your kitchen, when something smells, can you like pick up that sense? It tells you what it is. Like if I'm out taking my dog for a walk and somebody's grilling, is that a good smell?
Yeah.
All right. Name me something else, something like you just know what it is as soon as you smell it. Trash. What else?
Flower.
Skunk. After lawn mowed. Fresh turned dirt. Never thought of that one. Yeah. Peanut butter. Lemon. Name me a couple other things. Chocolate. Yeah. Fresh cut grass. I grew up on a ranch, so I could say manure. I could say that. Sometimes it was like super fresh, and then you look down and it was really fresh. So today I want to walk through some events. I want to walk you through Exodus 25 through probably 42, just some events, how it's set up, and then we're going to end in Leviticus 8 and 9. And as I get there, what stories come to mind when we think of the book of Exodus? Leaving Egypt. What else? The parting of the Red Sea. Plagues. The Mosaic Covenant. So the Ten Commandments. What else? Burning bush. But we always forget. We read all those parts. Those parts are excited. Those are all the things we taught the youth back in November and December. And then you keep reading on, and you get to this part. My whole adult life, I got to the part where he was giving you directions of what to do to get the tabernacle ready. And you read it, and then you then at the next chapter, you read it again, and the next chapter, you read it again, and the next chapter, you read it again, and you read it again. How many of you need to be told more than once? Right. Right. I'm that guy. All right, so we know the Israelites, they complained. They wanted to go back to Egypt, and they worshiped a golden calf. And then we sang some songs today, and I requested the last one, and faithfulness, holiness, and I wanted to add one to it called obedience. So today, I know all the stuff we know from Exodus. I want to focus on the obedience that they had in Exodus 29, Leviticus 8 and 9, and then see what happens, okay? Stay with me. So they followed every little dot and tittle because the Lord kept telling Moses. He told Moses, so he followed it to a T. And what happened at the end? How many of you know your Bible? The glory of the Lord came, right? Do we want to see the glory of the Lord? All right, so let's start following every little dot and tittle. So I want to walk through that today. I want to start in Exodus 25, verse 22. Read from the screen. And there I will meet you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, and about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. How many of you want to meet with him? How many of you want to speak, have him speak with you? All right, pay attention today. So Exodus 25 through chapter 40, God is giving Moses instructions to follow. He's leading them to the Mosaic Covenant. Lance pointed that out, right? He's pointing them to the tabernacle. And how to sacrifice for sin. How many of you got sin in your life? You're lying if your hand's not up. All right. So as I was reading this and the Lord's downloading some stuff and he's just like pointing some stuff out and scripture's coming to life, not saying I'm anything special, but this one really just sat with me. And I knew I'd be able to preach on it sometime, so here we are. I've had this for a good 2 months. And what Exodus 25, 22 to me is saying when it's saying you want to speak with him and you want to meet with him, right? Do you want to be real when you do that? All right. So if you're taking notes, first and foremost, you need to be authentic and real. You need to be authentic and real. You need to get yourself out of the way. Hebrews 4:13, you are still naked before him. You can't hide anything from him. So you have to be authentic and real. Is that hard work? It comes easy. But it's hard work in the beginning, but it just becomes easy. It becomes natural of just surrendering your life over to him and then having your ears where you can hear, having your eyes where you can see. But there's part somewhere in Exodus, I know I read it and I couldn't find it again, and it's when one version it makes you perspire. It's perspiring work to continue to do on and on and on and on. I don't know, Lance, you're probably the hardest working guy here out of all of us in the leadership part of it because you're constantly going, Sunny as well. It makes you sweat. It's hard work, and you guys are doing authentic and real work because your guys' hearts are in it. And your life should be worship in itself, correct? You should be living a life in obedience, in faithfulness, in holiness, and that's what we're longing for. And that's where we all need to be if we're not there. All right? So in the book of Exodus, I want to go to chapter 29. If you want to park there, I'll probably jump around a few, but they'll be on the screen. We're going to go a little bit here. I'll jump there. I'll jump here. I'll jump there. But really going to be in there probably the most of the today. Prior to that, though, Exodus 28:41 should be on your screen. So you shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him. You shall anoint, say anoint, consecrate them, and sanctify them, and they may be ministers to me as priests. This is the preparation for the priest. So anoint, consecrate, sanctify. All right? When he says sanctify, we'll get to that towards the end, but when he says anoint, what's being anointed mean? It's setting you apart. You are set apart. All right? He's anointing him with oil. All right? So you're being anointed with oil. How many of you feel like you're adopted in? Yeah. That's what Scripture says. The Word says that we are adopted in. If we're adopted in, I want to walk through. Anybody ever here adopted? All right. Anybody adopted anybody? You'll kind of walk through this process. I know a few people who've adopted a bunch of kids, and this is an adoption story. When we have an adoption, first you have to have willing parents, right? But you'd have to go in front of a judge. So you go in front of the judge, and after the adoption is sealed by the judge, the kid goes home with the new family, correct? All right, what happens when that kid screws up? Do you discipline him? What if the kid thinks, oh no, you're gonna take me back. I'm not adopted anymore. That's not how it works. You have parents that are trying to raise him in, hopefully in the right way, and the father or the mother will teach the kid the right ways, and the kid repents. Do we have to go back in front of the judge and get readopted? Do you see the spiritual aspect there? Right. You do not have to go back in front of the judge and get readopted. You are already sealed by the judge. He is setting you apart. As adopted sons and daughters, set apart, we want to be counted on. We want to be dependable, trustworthy, kind, loving, gaining wisdom. So you want to be wise. One of my most favorite traits that I like really seek off to like make sure I'm there, I'm reliable. Like if I gave you my word, my word's my word, I'll be there, right? Loving. If you're set apart, should you be loving? Should be. Tender-hearted. And here's something I think the church in some aspects is needs to get better at. They need to be vocal. Would you agree? Vocal. Do you think the world we're in right now is the church's fault? Some of the things that are going on? How bad we've let it get? We weren't vocal. Might have been vocal. Me and Lance might have been talking, but we weren't vocal to go take care of the things that need to be taken care of. So the church needs to be vocal. But choose right what you're vocal in. You need to be vocal in truth, right? And you have to have that relationship to be vocal in truth. To be set apart, Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on the hill that cannot be hidden." Me and Sonny talked Friday, struggling with curtain occupation. Not that I hate it. It's just I'm struggling with where I want to be or thought I would be to where I'm at now. My wife like walked me through the whole process of knowing me, which is great because I am. I'm working at a prison. I'm teaching. It comes out more downstairs and up here. Sonny even said it, that scripture. I don't know if you meant to, but you're a light on a hill. You're in a dark place, and I can't be hidden there. I'm getting opportunities there to preach in their church there. And you get to meet people, and you don't get to see the results. And I think that's probably the biggest problem. You don't get to talk to these people after they're gone because you can't. So you make friends and all that stuff. It's been an inside struggle with mine. But the point of all of this, what we're setting up in Exodus 29, is a spiritual truth. And it needs to be an inward reality. You know what an inward reality is? So he's walking you through what to do, what to do, what to do. And remember, type and shadow of what Christ has already really done for us. Would we ever act out this ritual? Do you know what ritual I'm talking about? We're killing bulls and two sheep or two goats. You think we'd act that out? No, because Jesus already paid that price. But we can look at some of the specifications of what was going on in there and look at it as an inward reality. If we're not going to be authentic and real, that inward reality, these ritual doesn't really matter much, right? It doesn't. So we would never act out that ritual at all. And the truth, we don't have to do goats and bulls anymore because Jesus paid the ultimate price. He shed his blood. That part is taken care of. But we are priests before God, right? Right? 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Keep moving on to 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation. Say it with me. I'm a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. And when they say nation, they're talking about a people group, all right? So you are a holy people group, his own special people, because you were adopted in, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous night. All right, so I'm going to put Exodus 29. We're going to walk through it a little bit, and I want this to look at it authentic and real and go from there. So in verse 4, so 29:4, is this, you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Publicly wash him. Lance, if I called you up here and had a hose and started publicly washing you, do you think he was naked? He was not, because of some of their traditions, he still had a little bit of linen on, but they publicly washed him. What does that represent? Being washed in, could be the blood, could be baptism, could be the word, but he was washed, all right? Submitted someone to wash him. He didn't wash himself. People washed him, right? Publicly. Could you do that? I don't know. Submitted to someone washing him. So let Jesus wash you. And we move on to verse 5 through 9. I'm reading from the ESV. I'll read from the screen, though. Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate and gird from the intricately woven band of the ephod, specific instructions that he had to follow. And you shall put the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. And you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head and anoint him. And then you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them. And you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, so you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. And I'm looking through, what does consecrate mean? Does anybody know? Having been made or declared sacred, act of dedicating oneself or something to God, or separating oneself from things that are unclean. So when you consecrate, you're washed in the blood. We just read that you're clothed in whose righteousness? His righteousness. You're anointed by Holy Spirit. So our spiritual property is in Christ. All of our spiritual property is in Christ. Kind of goes to, you could probably tie this into Ephesians 6 when we want to armor up. I don't want to go down that rabbit trail. But this is to be a continual consecration. That doesn't mean you do it once. It's continual, continual, continual. They did it all the way up to the New Testament. Continual. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek me first. Continual. Should you seek him first? When you wake up in the morning, what should we do? We should seek him first. Paul tells us to pray without what? Ceasing. So we don't have to do the sacrificial stuff anymore, but Jesus' words were in red, to seek ye first, right? Paul, got trained by who? Jesus. Pray without ceasing. So we should be in constant communication. We're supposed to walk out seeking holiness, righteousness, and it's whose righteousness again? His. All right. So consecrated. So he's anointing you. He's consecrating you for a deeper and more meaningful relationship with him. Do you see that? He's anointing you. Say, I'm anointed. I'm consecrated for a more and deeper meaningful relationship with you. What he's saying is, I want your heart. He's saying, I want your heart. And while I'm sharing stuff with the Lord, because you can't hide anything from him, we don't come up much now, especially because of Kaneo, but the last time we came up with the youth for prayer, it's almost like the Lord hasn't given me a word in a while, but I laid flat on my face up here, and he gave me a word. I didn't know if that word was for me, for somebody else, but I did share it, and the word was commit. Should we commit everything to him? So when you get a word, you go look it up in Scripture where it's at. I picked the wrong verse, but I found it. It was Psalms 37:5. It says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So if you've got problems in your life, should we commit our ways to him, trust him, and then he shall bring it to pass? And then I wanted to look it up in the Message version. It says, open up before the Lord. Open up. Keep nothing back, and he will do whatever needs to be done. If you're lining up with his will, like that song, take my heart and form it, take my mind and transform it, it's your will that I want. So he was going to line everything up with his will if you're going to commit to him, and then you can watch him and his glory just shine upon your life. And I fast forward just a little bit here. I wrote down, because of Kaneo, I keep writing truth next to things, because she gives that a lot. So I write truth. Fast forward to Exodus 29:44. We will go back. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, Aaron's also and his sons. I will consecrate to serve me as priests. Who does the work? The Lord does the work. The Lord does the consecrating. Lance, you can't consecrate me. Danielle, you can't consecrate me. Only the Lord can consecrate me. All right? I have to put myself in position to be consecrated. Do you want to put yourself in position? We must put ourselves to receive his work. That means we're seeking him first. We've been talking about Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do today? You know, who do you want me to touch today? Like, let my ears be open, my eyes be open to see, to hear, and so we can go accomplish your mission for today. I'm walking in a prison. I'm thinking this, and it's dark. It's hard. But you want to accomplish his will. You don't see the fruit from it yet. Maybe you never will. I don't know. You just got to be that light upon the hill and continuing to show up. And hopefully he's doing the work behind the scenes, which he usually is. And I mentioned hard work is perspiring, right? You're sweating. You're sweating. So that means it's meaningful. You know what else is hard work? Fixing things that you ignore or you put off. Super hard. Harder work, right? Your marriage is consecrated. Your life is consecrated. Your communication is consecrated. It should be edifying, building up the person you're with or the people you're around. It shouldn't be tearing them down. We do talk about that a little bit, don't we, Eli? Right? I've stood up on a chair. I don't have a chair here. But is it easier for me? Come here, Jarrell. I pick on him a lot. Is it easier for me to pull you up here or for you to pull me down? And you're not stronger than me. It's easier for you to pull me down because, so it's hard work for me to pull you up here. I got to put a little more in it, right? All right? The work's worth it. That was even my, thank you. You can go sit down. He rolled his eyes at me. You didn't? Okay. That's what I saw, though. I I've walked through life, and I've asked the Lord to change situations and make things easier for me, complained about certain people, and you know what didn't work? That prayer. You know what prayer did work? Change me. Probably one of the best prayers you can say is change me. And then you are called, you're set apart. Your eyes are more open to be more like Christ in dark situations. So that's been my prayer for my current position at my job, and I see what he's going to do there. Could be a long rabbit trail that I don't want to go down today. But back to Exodus 28:41, it says we are washed, clothed, anointed. Say that with me. Washed, clothed, anointed. It's going to have some ringing. Washed, clothed, and anointed. So we're washed by the works of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. We're clothed in his righteousness, and we're anointed by the Spirit of God. All right, so knowing that, we shouldn't feel dirty, right? We shouldn't feel dirty at all. We are washed, clothed, and anointed by the Father, so we shouldn't feel dirty. It's our birthright by adoption into the kingdom. And now we get to the tricky part of what I'm talking about today, which is Exodus 29, verse 10 through 14. And then you shall bring the bull before the tent of meeting. Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the bull, and then you shall kill the bull before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and shall take part of the body and the bull, and put it in the horns on the altar with your finger, and the rest of the blood you shall pour out on the base of the altar, and you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails, the long lobe of the liver, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, and burn them on the altar. But the flesh of the bull and its skin, its dung, you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. Tricky. That's kind of tricky. Why do they put the hands on the bull? I think you mentioned this in the last couple of weeks. Why do we put the hand? You're doing what? You're transferring. So you're pressing hard on the bull. Why it's alive, right? Okay. Anybody rodeoed? Anybody been around cows, bulls, horses? I don't think they like that much. All right? A bull is often associated with strength, power, and aggression. Kind of hard, right? Verse 10 says, hands on the bull. Putting your hands on the head of the bull is confessing your sins. You're doing that transfer. Represents a direct challenge of dominance. So we're doing what the Lord said. We're transferring it, and then we're moving on, and then we burn the flesh with fire outside the camp. Keep that in mind, okay? You're showing that sin has no power, no strength over you, and that Jesus was our atonement, if we're looking at shadow and type and shadow in this story. Confession. We have to confess those sins, and get to that in a second. Verse 15 through 18. Then you shall take one of the rams, and Aaron and his son shall lay their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram, and shall take its blood, and throw it against the sides of the altar, and then you shall cut the rams into pieces, and wash its entrails and its legs, and put them with its pieces of its head, and burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burning offering to the Lord. It's a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. If you don't have that highlighted in your Bible, it's kind of where I'm going to go today. It's a pleasing aroma to the Lord. A pleasing aroma to the Lord. The whole ram. This is ram number one, all right? The first one was what? A sin offering. The second one is a burnt offering, which is a life completely given to God. He gave the whole thing. Do you see? Type in shadow where we're walking here. Okay. So it sets the picture today. First, we came to the cross to deal with sin. Figuratively speaking, we came to the cross. We laid our hands on it. We confessed. And there was atonement for our sin because Jesus paid for it. He's our perfect atonement. But we have to put ourselves, remember, in position for that to happen. for the Lord to do the consecrating. We have to put ourselves in the position. The second ram was a consecration offering, and the meal was enjoyed. So Exodus 29, verses 19 through 28. And you shall take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram and take part of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear. That's kind of weird. Of Aaron, and the tips of the right ear of his sons, and on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the great toes of their right feet, and throw the rest of the blood against the sides of the altar. Then you shall take part of the blood that is on the altar and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments, and on his sons and his sons' garments with him, and his garments shall be holy, and his sons' garments with him. You shall also take the fat from the ram, and the fat tail, and the fat covers the entrails, and the long lobe of the liver, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, and the right thigh, and the one loaf of bread, and the one cake of made with oil, and one wafer out of the basket, and of unleavened bread, and before the Lord. You shall put all of these on the palms of Aaron, and on the palms of his sons, and you wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then you shall take them from their hands and burn them on the altar on the top of the burnt offering as a pleasing aroma before the Lord. It is a food offering to the Lord. Stop right there. Laying hands on it, the second one as well. The blood on the ram was wiped on what ear? The right. Okay. All right, still there. That's probably why. The right big toe, the right thumb, all right? Do you think that has meaning? Remember, every dot and tittle. Every dot and tittle, tittle has meaning. So the ear, what do you think that means? Right ear. Who are you listening to? Right? What are you listening to? Who we listen to matters. You guys remember me repeating this? They're getting tired. Not Wednesday. All right. The thumb. Why the thumb? Service? Can you do much without your thumb? Yeah. Can't hold a tool. Can't do much without your thumb. So who's, are you going to work for God's service or your own service? Because who we serve matters. Are you going to serve yourself or are you going to serve others? That's my take from this. All right. Why the toe? Only go where the blood leads you, right? So where we go matters. If we go somewhere we're not supposed to be, does it matter? So where we go matters, right? Right, that's all I got for that. Sorry, we wanted more. Sorry. All right. Why do you pick the right side? Huh? Say that again. Dominant side. From my understanding, I'm big into dreams and visions and all that good stuff. And the right side is your dominant side. It is your power side, all right? Do you know there is a tribe where some people went down and tried to get them converted to Christianity? They went down there, and then they were going to get baptized. And this tribe would get baptized, go under the water with their right out of the water. And then when person after person after person kept doing that, they wanted to know why. Well, I'm going to have to kill somebody with this hand. So they didn't want that hand baptized. All right. So now we take this blood we just read and anointing oil, and we sprinkled it on the people. Now, in your imagination, we've already killed a bull. Is there blood everywhere? We already killed a first ram. Is there blood everywhere? Now we've killed the second ram. Is there blood everywhere? Probably all over us, all right? And now we're mixing it with oil. And God wants all of us, all of the service to him, so it must be a mixture of sacrifice and spirit. So put yourself in position by sacrificing time, your talents, and your treasure, and the Spirit will lead you. If you sacrifice time, talent, treasures, the Spirit will lead you. Now, this is called a wave offering. It's also called the heave offering. And as I dug more into it, where it means more to type in shadow, the wave offering signifies the resurrected Christ. All right, so if you imagine, hope this don't like go loud, Travis. The blood's just going everywhere, also with the oil, right? And then they also have something called the heave offering, where they're lifting it back up. What is that? That's the ascended Christ, right? So the wave offering, resurrected Christ, the heave offering is the ascended Christ. It's every dot and tittle has meaning as you jump more into it. Now, this second ram, did you catch the part? This is the part where they get to eat, right? Would that be a good smell? Like some lamb chops, right? Making you hungry? All right, do you know eating has a real significant meaning to God, and eating is important, correct? All right, I haven't even told you the name of this sermon yet, have I? We'll get there, right? But did you know that eating was, we went through the first ram, now we're at the second ram, but the eating was the last thing. Followed everything per instructions, very obedient. And this in Exodus 29 is just the instructions. We haven't even got to the part where they had to do it yet. All right? I'm building up to that. All right. Did you know eating is personal? All right? Lance, can anybody eat for you? So eating is personal, all right? You have to do it for yourself. I know there's babies and stuff like that, but we're not talking about, we're talking about us as grown people. You have to do it for yourself. It's between you and God, and nobody can do it for you. Eating is inward. The food doesn't do any good until you take it inside for yourself. All right? Is this the bread of life? We have to take it in and let it do its work, but you have to take it in. I can't go off of your faith, or anybody else in here's faith. I have to take it in for myself. Eating is active. How many of you have ever taken some medicine where you're just sitting there and they give you some medicine? All right? It passively just acts like it's like what it's supposed to do. But eating is not like that. You have to eat because it's active, and you have to actively take it in for yourself. If you're not actively taking it in for yourself, you're going to be what? You're going to be hungry. How many of you are hungry for the word? Right. We got to get hungry for the word, for that deeper meaning, that deeper understanding of what this means. Sometimes church goes an hour and a half. We're doing our best to feed you, right? We're doing our best to feed you, and trying to break this one down, getting close. We're probably about, I don't know, half hour more. The eating is active. And then eating rises from a sense of need. Why? You're hungry. If you're hungry, what you eat has an effect on you, correct? Right. Can it affect how you smell? Can it affect your inward health? Does eating produce satisfaction? Is it cake, or is it you want meat? You want meat? We're steak and potatoes kind of guy. So, right, continuing on. Verse 29, the holy garments of Aaron shall be for his sons after him, and they shall be anointed in them and ordained in them. The sons who succeeds him as the priest who comes into the tent of meeting to minister in the holy place shall wear them 7 days. 7 days. You can continue on and continue on. I want to go through verse 37. But you imagine for 7 days you're killing a bull, two rams, killing a bull, two rams. Wednesday hits, you're killing a bull, two rams. Thursday hits, you're killing a bull, two rams. Friday, bull, two rams. Saturday, bull, two rams. I mean, is it repeat? Rinse, lather, repeat. Rinse, lather, repeat. Rinse, lather, repeat. Can't even say it that fast. So, you know what that did for them? If they did it for 7 straight days. What, how long does it take to form a habit? Is it 21 days? Okay. It washed them, it clothed them, and anointed them, which we've already talked about, and it made them focus on the blood of sacrifice. It gave them the fundamentals of a life with God. Over and over and over. Do you think that was hard work? 7 straight days of doing the same thing over and over and over and over. And it was, the bowl was in the morning, in the midday, and at night. It wasn't like, oh, let's just hurry up and get it done. No, it took a lot of work to get all that done. It just wasn't boom, 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 and then you were done. You can go do what you want. But it was over and over and over again, which comes to that word the Lord gave me of commit. You have to be committed. If you're going to do this work, you have to be committed. You have to be committed. If you're not committed, you're not going to get used. It's just the way it sums it up. It also set a relentless focus on the work and power of the sacrificial blood. It pointed them to the cross of Jesus. It literally did. Another type in shadow. It also stripped away. Remember, they had to get washed publicly. It stripped away all the glamour, all the prestige, all the, there's pastors and priests out there that are doing it for celebrity, right? Is that real? Is God going to honor that? No. Remember, you have to be authentic. You have to be real. And it made strip them away of all that glamour. A man tries to create all the glory, but I don't want man-created glory. I want God's glory. And this is the way I think we're trying to get there. It also trained a priest about being satisfied with secret fellowship with the Lord. How many of you have a secret place? Have a prayer closet? Mine's my car for the most part, driving and all that stuff. Verse 42. And it shall be a regular burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. A continual offering all the way up into the New Testament, where he will meet with you and he will speak with you. He wants consecrated priests, right? I will meet with you and I will speak with you, consecrated priest. He wants a deeper and more meaningful relationship. Who wants that? Deeper and more meaningful relationship. I want that, all right? Now here comes to the part, I want to kind of slow down just a little bit, where I think all that built up. Was that all right? You understand? Okay. Verse 44 through 46. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, Aaron's also and his sons, and I will consecrate to serve me as priest. I will dwell among the people of Israel, and I will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord, their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and I might dwell among them, and I am the Lord, their God. Is that a promise? It's a good one, too. If we put ourselves in position... 44 said, I will consecrate them. 45, I'm getting relationship. And in 46, they will know. If I'm putting myself in position, he's consecrating us. We're having that relationship, and then we will know. We just have to sometimes be still. Be still and know that he is God. And then verse Psalms 37:5, he says, once you do all this, he'll bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. We just got to trust in him. So that was just instructions in chapter 29. So let's look at the results of this obedience. So if you turn to the book of Leviticus, Exodus, Leviticus, I'm going to start in chapter 8, verse 4. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent. So now, everything that the Lord told him through 4 or 5 chapters in Exodus, now they're getting ready to go out and do. They are set up. Moses was obedient. See what obedience gets you? We're going to find out. Chapter 8, verse 21. He washed the entrails of the legs with water, and Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt offering with a what? A pleasing aroma, a sweet aroma. It depends on what version. I like pleasing aroma best. So smelled good, right? To the Lord? Smelled good to the Lord. A sweet aroma to the Lord is a surrendered life. Okay, go to verse 28. Chapter Leviticus 8, 28. Then Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar on the burnt offering. They were consecrated offerings for a sweet aroma, a pleasing aroma. That was an offering made by the fire of the Lord. Again, repeat, repeat, repeat. A pleasing aroma. Here's where all this got to us, okay? Leviticus 9, verses 23 through 24. Leviticus 9, verses 23 through 24. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Becky, do you have that photo? Look at that. So after they were all obedient, that you see the glory of the Lord just coming down. It almost reminds you of the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit came, right? All right. Verse 24. And the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. God's glory comes when we're obedient, all right? How many of you have done blood, sweat, and tears through your life? Blood, sweat, and tears. Some ups and downs. And when one of those songs today said, even when the valley, the mountain, we're still going to, you even opened up with a scripture that kind of goes with it. We're going to praise him in the valley all the same. No matter what we're going through, we just need to trust him and let him trust him to do what he said he's going to do. He says in Psalms 37:5, he'll get the job done. He's going to get the job done. All we got to do is trust him. But first we have to commit. God's glory comes when we're obedient. So what's worth all of this? Is God's glory worth it? It's worth seeing. I'm ready for another one. It's been a minute before I've watched people get healed. You can, with your physical eyes, watch something happen. I've watched people up here get healed. I've watched testimonies. I've heard things, but I want more. You're hungry for the next one, because God's going to do it again. And then you get that one, and you're hungry for the next one, for God to do it again. Say this with me: the reward is far greater than the cost, and we are sanctified by His glory. We're sanctified by His glory. So all of that, this is what the Lord gave me like a month and a half ago. What holds us back? Ourselves. So it's the flesh? All right, so it's the flesh. Exodus 29:18 said it was a pleasing aroma. Exodus 29:25 said it was a pleasing aroma. Leviticus 8:21 said it was a pleasing aroma. Leviticus 8:28 said it was a pleasing aroma. So you guys just said ourselves. So it's our flesh that's holding us back. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That's a pretty powerful statement. All right? Pretty powerful. I don't know what other ones I gave you, because I have four written down, Becky. 1 Corinthians 15:31. All right. Die daily. Die daily. Die daily. All right? So don't live by your means. Live by His. Matthew 16:24-26. Then Jesus told the disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For it will profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul. For what shall a man give in return for his soul? It's a good warning or a good blessing, depending on how you look at it, right? If you want to follow him, you have to deny yourself, right? So when we die daily to the flesh, here's where I got this revelation, and just like, I don't know, you guys might have had it before, but when we die to the flesh, it is a sweet, pleasing aroma to the Lord. All of that for that right there. When we die to the flesh, it is a sweet and pleasing aroma to the Lord. So I want to give you guys an opportunity today to ask yourself, how do you smell? Is it a sweet and pleasing aroma to the Lord? I want the fullness of his glory. Do you guys want the fullness of his glory? All right, I do. All right, so I want to invite Lance and Sonny up here. Let me push this out of the way. Becky, if you want to put on some soft music. Lance and Sonny will anoint you. We're not going to dump it on you. I thought about that, having a big tarp out here and like really dumping it on you. If anybody needs to die to their self, to their flesh today, there is anointing oil, soft music playing. This is between you and God. That's what they used. If you do some research, they really used olive oil. How many of you need to die and die well? I know I do. It's a daily practice. So I just want to leave it here.